Today on Real Radio.
This rich young ruler is the only person that I can find in the Bible who confronted Jesus or met Jesus face to face. Face to face. He's the only guy that I can find in the Bible who walked away from Jesus worse off than before he met Jesus. I can't find anybody else. And do you realize how often that's happening in life today of people?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're in a mini-series taken from part of chapter 18 called, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? And this text, containing some of Messiah's quotes, gives us further insight on how to do just that. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
How many links in the chain have to break before it falls? One. Jesus is exposing this man's heart with hopes that he'll come to faith. James 2:10, mark it. James 2:10 says, "For whoever keeps the law in its entirety yet stumbles in one point of the law is guilty of breaking the entire law." Why? Because you say, well, I didn't commit adultery. That's fantastic. But maybe you dishonored your mother or father. Commandment number one, it's found in Exodus chapter 20. You might want to jot these down. You shall have no other gods before me. Jesus didn't quote that one. Commandment number two, Exodus 20 verse 4. You shall make no idols for yourself. Number three, this is found in verse 7 of Exodus 20. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Commandment number four is found in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That's a God thing. That's vertical between you and God. Note this. Commandment number five, Exodus 20 verse 12. Honor your father and mother. Commandment number six is found in verse 13. You shall not murder. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. Number eight, found in verse 15, you shall not bear false witness. Those man things, you've heard those today, didn't you? But look at number 10. Jesus didn't mention number 10. He didn't mention number 1, 2, 3, or 4. Number 10 is, you shall not covet. You say, wait a minute, coveting is an earth thing. It's a man thing. It's looking at somebody else's stuff and wanting it. Yes, but listen, you can't have number 10 without having number 1. You can't have number 1 without having number 10. Because when you covet something, it gets in the way of number 1. There shall be no other God before me, says the Lord. When you and I covet something, we're taking it. And it looks seems so innocent. We're taking it and we're putting it in the place of God. We covet something, it's because that will give me meaning and purpose. And it's so silly, it could be anything, anything even so small, has no dollar value even. I was at Home Depot on Friday night. I was coveting. I mean, I didn't know it at the time, but then as you know, you prepare for this message, I start thinking. And I not only wanted some of those plants that I couldn't afford, I had to leave so dejected and so depressed. Because I left with an empty cart. I saw people in line buying those plants I wanted. And how am I going to deal with that? Oh God, why dost thou not love me? It's ridiculous. Or it could be something of great, incredible expense. It doesn't have to be so. It can be anything. Jesus says, one thing you lack. It's amazing to me. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not willing that any man should perish, but that all should come to a change of mind. The word is repentance. God wants everyone to change their mind and put him as the Lord of their lives. Are you a non-believer this morning? Do you not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Guess what? He wants you to select him to be the only reason why you live and the purpose that drives your life, Jesus Christ. You say, well, Jack, where do I position him then? If I accept him today, where do I put him? I mean, I got all these things in my life that I'm living for, so where do I put him? You know, we are a modular society. We're really big on that. We love buying things, and if it's technical things like a computer or whatever, if I buy this, can I add on stuff to it? We're conditioned to think like that. It doesn't work with God. Okay, if I'm going to accept Christ, where do I put him? Oh, a number one? Okay, I put him on number one. Guess what? He will not allow, he will not tolerate, he will not exist as number one on a list of 7 or 10 or 25 things. It's God and my car and my... Oh, no, no, no. Jesus will only move into a heart where he's number one on a list of one. Because to put him somewhere on a list of other things, we have selected for that day to prioritize Jesus as number one. Last week's Harris poll put Jesus Christ at number two as the most influential person in our modern age. First time in human history that Jesus has slipped from number one to number two as the most influential person in modern history. And then they went down the list of, I don't know how many people it was. I forget, 25 people or whatever. Can you believe that? It's a good thing that God doesn't read polls, though. He doesn't care. This rich young ruler is the only person that I can find in the Bible who confronted Jesus or met Jesus face to face. Face to face. He's the only guy that I can find in the Bible who walked away from Jesus worse off than before he met Jesus. I can't find anybody else. And do you realize how often that's happening in life today of people? You'll share the gospel with someone. Oh, yeah, okay, that's the gospel. Well, that's fantastic. Nah, not for me. And that person leaves worse off. Well, look at verses 23 and 24. Not by being rich enough, because listen, rich enough cannot make you happy enough. Rich enough can't make you happy enough. This guy's not happy. And when he heard this, verse 23, when the man heard it, he became very sorrowful. The word in the Greek Bible is very sorrowful. This guy's very sad. One of the ancient commentators writes that the man's shoulders slumped forward with sorrow, for he was very rich. There's nothing wrong with being very rich, unless those riches own you. And when Jesus saw that, he became very sorrowful. Jesus said, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God." Notice, he didn't say rich people can't go to heaven. He said it's hard for rich people to go to heaven. Do I need to elaborate on the dangers of riches? They mess us up. You know this, over 75% of people who win the lottery within 10 years are broke, divorced, and hooked on drugs or alcohol. Did you know that? Because it didn't fix their life. It gets in the way. Personally, you may be upset with me for this. Personally, I pray and wish that Christians were mature enough to handle earthly riches. I get really upset when I see bad people with a lot of money spending their money on prostitutes, on drugs, and doing terrible things. Would to God that Christians could handle wealth the way God intended them to handle it. Amen. But we can't, I guess, we can't. We begin to think different, park our cars differently, look different, you know, just whole everything changes. Why is that? Becomes a controlling factor. You cannot be rich enough and be happy. True story, this is a true story. I met a man recently who, in his job, he's had many jobs. God has used it. He loves the Lord. He's done a lot. But he had a project that he embarked upon. And he embarked upon this project, and when he was done with the project, someone, some company liked his project. And guess what happened? That company wrote him a check for $80 million. He went to the bank and cashed or deposited $80 million. And that was just one job. Loves God. What's he going to do with the money? I don't know what he's going to do with the money, but if he does what he normally does with all the rest of his money throughout the history of his life, he gives it away. He supports missionaries around the world, Christian efforts around the world. Now, how do you handle that? Do you know what? God has found this particular man that I'm talking about, I'm not going to name him, God has found him faithful enough to give him so much because God knows the more I give this guy, the more he gives away. You want to know what's so cool? He owns that stuff. The stuff doesn't own him. And in this young man's life, the stuff owned him. Are we losing stuff in our culture? Are we losing stuff in our current financial crisis? How are you handling that? Are you putting a gun to your head? Oh no, I've lost my stuff. Give me a gun. Oh no, I've lost my stuff. I'm leaving my husband or my wife. What's wrong with you? I'll tell you what's wrong with you. You have no Christ in your life. You've got stuff in your life. And that is how you have equated your success and existence. I have great possessions. I have great wealth. I have great youth. I have great power. What happens if you lose it? Do you know God vertically? That's the issue. You'll never be happy enough. Number three under this second point is this. Rich enough cannot get things done for you. This is one of the things of riches that fool us. Jesus says, for it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for rich men to enter the kingdom of God. In Ivor Powell's book of Luke, it's entitled Luke's Thrilling Gospel, chapter 386, he makes mention of this, and I quote, once the main gates of Jerusalem were shut tight against nighttime marauders and marketeers, a cameler, they called them back then, had been known to try his effort at getting his camel and goods through the lesser pedestrian gate that flanked each of the great gates of Jerusalem. The load was often removed. Church, put this in your mind's eye. The load was often removed from the camel and had to be carried by the man, the cameleer himself, through the tight gate, and the camel had to be contorted and then would need to crawl on its knees through the passageway. It was not impossible, but extremely difficult, like a rich man who loves his riches more than God. Here you have a camel carrying all your stuff. How do I get in? It's not impossible, but you got to carry this stuff yourself. You got to take it off the camel and carry it. And then you got to get your camel to go through the door on its knees. And what a funny picture. Putting Vaseline on the camel, pushing on the camel, pulling the camel. Breathe in, camel. Isn't that funny? He says it was not impossible. It was extremely hard. And that's important because what are you and I hanging on to? And God is saying, I want you to let go of it. It's freaking you out. It's messing up your life. You can't even think straight. You can't eat because this thing is controlling you. Why is it controlling you? Why is it so important? And this is a trick question. Can you live without it? What do you think the answer is? Oh, come on. Just go ahead and lie. Say yes. Of course you can live without it. The bummer is, just like this man, we shall see, you're not willing to live without it. I don't mean you, I'm just saying. Point three, and we'll end with this final point. Thou shalt not get there by being faithful enough. Verse 26 and 7, faith enough in Jesus Christ saves you, my friend. Not how faithful you are to church. As beautiful as that is, and as beautiful as it is to be faithful to your children or to your husband or your wife, you're not going to get to heaven because of that. You should be faithful. That doesn't get you to heaven. There's only one object of faith that will save you. Boy, isn't this narrow? Huh? Come on, let's be honest. Isn't this narrow? Absolutely narrow. Right on that it's narrow. And those who heard it said, verse 26, who then can be saved? See, they equated salvation with how blessed you are. If you're a rich young ruler, you must have entrance, huh? Jesus said, verse 27, these things are impossible with men. Hallelujah. What's he saying? Salvation is impossible with man. I don't know about you, but that's good news. Man cannot save himself, Jesus says. But it's possible with God. So those who heard it, it freaked them out when they heard that. How hard it is, verse 24, he said, for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. When they heard that, they freaked out. It's impossible for you and I to get to heaven from here by the things that we have. I'll just quote the verse for time's sake. You can look at it later. But in John chapter 3, verses 1 to 10, isn't this what Nicodemus encountered? Was not Nicodemus a religious man? Are you religious? Listen, Nicodemus had absolute power in Jerusalem. Tremendous influence. Do you? And being a Pharisee of his stature, he had great wealth. And Jesus said, unless you're born again, you're not going to make it to heaven. Don't you think this is offensive? Come on, let's be honest. The preaching of the cross is offensive. How will Bill Gates get to heaven? The same way you and I will have to get to heaven. By faith in Jesus Christ. You don't put your faith in him, you're not going, Jesus said. You see, well, Jack, that offends me. May it offend you to the point of coming to him. It's impossible, he says, unless, mark it, chapter 2 of Ephesians, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, some of the most offensive verses of the Bible. For by grace, that word means unmerited favor, freely given. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Secondly, we know this, faith enough in Jesus Christ qualifies you. Then Peter says, look, we have left everything to follow you, Jesus. Peter is looking for, he's looking for assurance. He just saw this happen. Oh my goodness, Jesus, we've left everything to follow you. Give us a thumbs up, Jesus. Pat us on the back. Excuse me, the last time I read my Bible, what did Peter give all for to follow Jesus? He had a net that had a bunch of holes in it. And he might have had two boats. We know this, he had a fishing company and it wasn't doing very good. Lord, I fished all night and have caught what? Nothing. Oh, Lord, we've left all to follow you. Have we ever fallen into that trap? I'm a Christian. Oh, I have left this great life of mine, this incredible career, all of this stuff and all. Boy, the places I have given up to follow Jesus. Oh, come on. Really now? Have you forgotten that he has given you eternal life? That if you are a billionaire, you couldn't have bought it? No, it's Christ that qualifies us. Galatians 2:20 says, and this is how it's done. I have been crucified with Christ, Paul said. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Can you say that today? Christ lives in you. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Wow. And finally here, verses 29 to 30. So Jesus said to them, faith enough in Jesus Christ rewards you. He says, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house, parents, brothers, wife, or children. Jesus is saying by decision to go preach the gospel. Hey, honey, I'll see you in a week or two. I'm going to go on a short-term mission trip to China or Russia or Germany or Mexico or Detroit. I'm going to go preach the gospel. Jesus says, that's fantastic. Right on. It also implies those who have been abandoned by their husbands or wives or by their homes, who when they come to Christ, maybe that's you today. I know there's people in this church who they accepted Jesus Christ and their husband or wife found out about it and said, you what? You're a what? Yeah, I went to church today and accepted Christ. You raised your hand? You were sitting right next to me and you raised your hand? And It was the beginning of the end of their relationship, and it wound up leading in divorce. The unbeliever said, I'm not going to be married to a Christian. Can you believe that? It's happening. Jesus says, I tell you what. He says, if this has happened to you for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. The man went away sorrowful. Another gospel tells us that Jesus, when he saw him go away, Jesus was sad. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Tell me what to do, I'll do it. Or I'll buy it. Or maybe I can just inherit it. Just tell me. All right, this is it. And Jesus looked into his soul, and Jesus discerned this man kept 5 commandments horizontally, but every other commandment vertically he broke. And when the man came to that realization, his shoulders slumped and he walked away. And the Bible says, for he had great riches.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? It's actually a mini-series taken from a section in Luke's New Testament account, chapter 18, part of our teacher's greater verse-by-verse journey through this eyewitness narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, a reminder of what we're currently offering here on Real Radio, Pastor Jack's DVD series, Saints, Sex, and Sinners. Now, it's no secret that we live in quite the sexually charged age. Sexual immorality in its various forms is actually praised and celebrated. But what about the church? Certainly things must be different in the professing church, right? Well, these and other issues are dealt with in this DVD series from the scriptural worldview. In fact, here's Pastor Jack to tell us more about this series. Pastor Jack?
Well, thanks, Mike. And you know, what we're talking about in this little mini-series entitled Saints, Sex, and Sinners is the fact that political correctness is nothing new. Well, we learn in this series that at the church at Corinth, they were allowing, that is the church leadership and the body of Christ at Corinth, they were allowing sexual immorality to be conducted among their members. They didn't rebuke it, they didn't deal with it, and they spun it, Mike, as tolerance, that they were a gracious church, that they were a loving church, that they were a very tolerant church. And what they had really fallen into, Paul points it out vividly, was, in a sense, political correctness. And in our little mini-series, Paul addresses how a church leadership should deal with this and how a church itself should keep itself from sexual immorality. And so for all these reasons and more, we want to make available to you what we're studying right here at church, and that is the book of Corinthians and this 3-part series of Saints, Sex, and Sinners. How should leadership deal with sexual immorality among the saints? What does the Bible say regarding church discipline? And how should all of us walk in the fear of the Lord when it comes to how to conduct ourselves in the house of God? And so I encourage all of you to get a copy of this series, and I think it will strengthen your walk. It will certainly generate conversation. And Mike, you can tell the people how they can obtain their own copy.
Yes, indeed. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send you the DVD series Saints, Sex, and Sinners. You can call, click, or write if you prefer. Pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll know just what to do. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. RR Radio. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.